Chapter 10. As soon as I stepped outside, I was taken aback by the number of unfamiliar creatures surrounding us. They were giant, towering beasts, and they appeared to be some form of elk or moose, but something told me they were far deadlier. There had to be at least a dozen of them, and each one looked as feral and suspicious as the last. When I slowly glanced down, I noticed they were kicking up snow with their hooves, like they were ready to charge at us at any second. I could see Revna and Vanessa just behind the herd and not too many paces away, and both women's faces were whitewashed as they grasped onto their wands. Everyone was prepared for the worst, and even the familiars were all in attack stances and waiting for the right moment to lunge forward and strike.
"Try to stay as still as possible,"
Faye's voice whispered from behind me.
"Those are Alkies, and they're capable of gutting you with their antlers in one swift plunge. Try not to look them in the eyes, unless you have to." "She's right. We need to think about our next move carefully."
"So, what should we do?" I growled as the bulkiest of the herd eyed me from head to toe. "We can't just stand here all day."
"I think we should try to sway their minds, just like we did with the bears. That's not as easy as it sounds,"
Revna warned with bright, alert eyes, and she nearly flinched as one of the beasts took a step closer toward her.
"These beings long for blood."
"If so, why haven't they attacked us yet? I think Faye is right. We should at least try and penetrate their consciousnesses."
"Well, if we're gonna do something, we'd better do it now before we get turned into their fucking breakfast."
"Agreed,"
Revna said, before she took a small step forward, and I did the same. "Everyone, make sure to clear your minds of all doubt. Don't let them smell any fear on you,
or they will surely attack. We'll be dead in seconds."
I maintained eye contact with the largest beast in the herd as I took a step forward, and I could see mist emitting from its large snout as its eyes glowed an even brighter shade of red. It growled viciously under its breath and lowered its massive antlers in my direction as I drew closer and closer, but I didn't dare falter. The beast was unwavering and determined to gut me, but I didn't let its feral senses deter me from what I had to do. I took a deep breath and another small step forward. I then raised my wand higher in the air, and the other women did the same. I knew the others were ready to bond with whatever animal they chose, and when I felt a giant wave of collective acknowledgement, I aimed my wand at the leader.
"Et erant morietur!"
we screamed at the same time. Blasts of orange light all escaped from our wands and hit the massive creatures right in their hefty chests. I thought it would be a simple task once we enacted the spell, but soon my entire body shuddered with pain, like 1,000 needles were prickling my skin all at once. My head felt as heavy as lead, and there was a tingling sensation in the back of my eyes as I attempted to keep my wand aimed steadily at the leader. The beast before me also seemed to be in terrible pain as he locked eyes with me, and his entire body shook like it was about to explode into hundreds of bits of flesh. Whatever this creature was, it was headstrong and stubborn, and I knew it was refusing to obey my will. But I wouldn't give up, not yet. I gritted my teeth, and as the orange glow grew brighter, I knew I was finally beginning to push through its stubborn mind. I could feel my body weakening as I willed the beast to become mine, but soon everything began to settle, and I realized we were winning. The other creatures who were not affected seemed to be dazed and confused, and from the corner of my eye, I watched as they slowly left the others who were under our spell. Finally, the air settled as a cool wind swept across our faces, and the animal's eyes turned from blood red to a deep shade of brown. At that moment, I knew we had overcome their will, and they now belonged to us.
"Oh, there,"
I panted, and there was a sharp pain stabbing me in the chest.
"Ow! Fucking hell, that hurt. But we did it."
"And thank Satan we did,"
Revna breathed as she rubbed her temples.
Not only did we just escape a painful death, but we also have quite a ways to climb. And perhaps with these creatures, it will be a little easier. Besides, these beasts are great hunters, and we'll need to catch a few mares and skin them for their furs. I don't think the bear hides will be easy on your backs once we near the inside of the mountain caves. There will be plenty of crouching and climbing to do, and you'll feel as if your backs are breaking after several hours. Then with all due respect...
Akira muttered as she adjusted her own hide.
Why did your village insist on us carrying them? It was all we had to offer. I'm an expert hunter, so finding a pack of mares won't be a problem. And now that we have all the alkies, it should be easier than Newt Pie. We'll see about that.
Vanessa sighed before she approached her newly bonded creature.
Come on, grab your familiars if you need to and climb on. We need to reach these caves you speak of before sunset.
Agreed, I said as Alexander flew above me, and I climbed on top of my elk-like creature. Lead the way, Revna. The wild woman nodded in my direction before climbing on top of her own animal, and we began to head up a narrow, snow-covered trail. We spent hours hiking up the mountain with our new furry companions, but the journey was easier now with our mounts. It was still cold as we gained altitude, but when the sun was at its highest point, Revna turned around to look at us with a furrowed brow and pursed lips.
Pull out your weapons!
She demanded before she reached for her bow.
This is mare territory, and if we're going to kill something, we're going to do it without Vons. It's the wild Vic of A. Sweet.
Akira grinned before she pulled out a small axe.
I can't fucking wait. Now be sure to keep your eyes open.
Revna whispered as we headed toward another thicket of trees, but these woods were full of bright red leaves and white bark.
Mares are swift creatures, and their fur is the most precious of all. They will be light as a feather, but warmer than a bear's hide. What do mares even look like? I've never heard of them before. They're hybrids between giant rabbits and deer, and as I said, they're fast, unpredictable, and cunning. Are they dangerous?
Circe questioned as her forked tongue flickered out of her mouth like she was tasting the air.
Are they anything like the Alkies?
Only if they lead you to the edge of a cliff and you tumble to your death.
Revna shrugged.
Just keep your eyes peeled and we should be fine.
Will do, I said as I reached for the dagger by my side.
Wait, take this instead.
Revna said before she pulled a spear from the inside of her furs.
I have a feeling you would wield this veil. How are you carrying so many weapons?
Morgana asked with a raised eyebrow.
I know we each bear one, but it seems like you're holding an endless supply. Oh, I'm just using a simple charm that makes carrying supplies easier. It's an ancient wild spell, and perhaps I can show you it all later when the time comes.
Suddenly, a rustling noise cut Revna off, and everyone went deadly quiet as we looked around. Revna gripped her weapon tightly as her eyes darted between the trees, and Isabel growled as we searched for the source.
Cole? I think I see movement just ahead. Looks like the creature the wild woman was speaking of. It's trying to hide from you. Right in between the trees!
There's a mare, I said, and Revna turned to look at me with bright eyes. Just beyond the thicket.
Are you sure?
Yes, Alex confirmed it.
All right.
The wild Wicca said as she gripped even tighter on her weapon.
Everyone, follow my lead. If it runs off the trail, we must be cautious. As I'm sure you remembered, Sigrid said it would be unwise to stray from the path.
Understood,
Vanessa said. But before anyone else could utter another word, a slim but long creature with gleaming fur sprung from the thicket and bounded ahead of us, quick as a whip.
It's on the run!
I shouted, and I urged my beast to move forward and gallop with all its might.
Let's go!
I sped through the trees and followed the animal as near as I could. I was right behind its tail as I raised my arm in the air and aimed the spear right for its back, and then I threw my spear right in between its shoulder blades. The point of the weapon veered a little to the left and dug into the flesh of its shoulder instead, but it didn't impale the creature as I'd wanted. Still, the creature cried out in agony, and it tried its best to keep limping onward. But as blood dripped and poured from the opening and cast a ruby trail through the snow, I knew it was done for.
Well done, Cole!
Revna called out from behind me, and when I turned to look for the wild woman, she was already on another mare's tail. I watched with amazement as she used her elk-like creature's antlers to stab the sprinting animal before it could flee from her, and Revna tossed back her head and laughed with triumph as her bonded animal raised the dead carcass in the air like it was just as proud as she was. There must have been an entire pack of mares on the loose, because when I looked in different directions, the other women were on the hunt for their own kill, and luckily not one of the mares seemed to be heading off trail. By the time each witch had killed her own animal, the red and white mountain forest was covered with thick patches of splattered blood and bits of flesh and gore. "Well done," I said as we all came to a stop. Everyone managed to snatch their own kill.
"If we're going to skin these beings,"
Vanessa said before she and Isabel galloped back to me, and she had her own dead animal floating behind her.
"We'd better do it now. I don't like the idea of staying in these woods with fresh blood on the snow."
"I agree."
Revna nodded before she looked around.
"Just about anything could sniff it out and come hunting us."
"So let's do it. Let's skin these fuckers and move on."
"Does everyone remember the spell I spoke of earlier?"
Revna asked as she turned to look at everyone.
"The one to skin animals?"
"I don't believe I was there for that particular conversation,"
Vanessa muttered, and I knew it irked her she wasn't familiar with this spell.
"But I could always use another one." "No, don't worry, it's easy,"
Revna said before she hopped off her elk and got down to the dead mare's level. The wild woman tucked her bow behind her back and then pulled out her wand before she aimed it at the carcass floating behind the professor.
"Intusunt!"
We watched with fascination as the hovering carcass of Vanessa's kill slowly turned inside out, and its soft brown fur peeled right off its body, as easy as if someone were peeling the skin off a fruit. The bright red and purple muscles gleamed under the winter sun like a crimson river, but the fur was as clean as could be. Vanessa said before she tossed off her heavy bear hide and exchanged it for the lighter furs.
"Thank you, Revna. Now everyone stop gawking at me and skin your own animals for hell's sake."
The rest of us copied exactly what Revna did, and by the time I had my new furs, I took a moment to marvel at its beauty and craftsmanship. As I slipped it over my broad shoulders, the new hide felt like the finest garment that only a king would wear. The fur was a light, pristine golden brown, and it gleamed under the sun as I caressed its soft texture. It was almost inconceivable that it was bloody and filthy just moments ago. Now that we all had our new furs, Revna charmed the mare meat to preserve it and tucked it into her seemingly endless pockets. Then we set back on the trail and continued quickly up the mountain path. The higher we ventured upward, the colder the air grew. The elk-like creatures were keeping us warmer, though, and with their help, we were climbing faster than we anticipated.
"Let's stop here for a small break,"
Revna said once we reached a cluster of rocks just beyond a tall, snowy peak.
"We're making excellent time, and I don't see why we can't let the animals take a breather before we reach our next destination."
"All right,"
Vanessa agreed after a long moment.
"But let's not stay too long. The faster we reach the inner caves, the better. Where will the caves lead to?"
Vesta asked as we clambered off our animals, and the familiars all gathered around to take sips of water from the canteen Revna passed along.
"They should lead us to the Dragon's Peak,"
Revna said, before she pointed ahead to the tall tip of the mountain ahead of us.
"As I said, we need to be careful once we get closer because of the elves and serpents that dwell there. I believe they live in small villages, and they're always guarded night and day."
"What should we be on the lookout for within the caves?" I asked with a raised eyebrow. "Call me a pessimist, but I reckon it won't be a smooth journey."
"No, you're right, Cole,"
Revna sighed before she took a generous sip of water.
"The caves will be filled with ice wendigos. They are creatures without eyesight, and once, long ago, they were deemed holy women of the winter realms and snow villages. But if they were caught using dark magic, they were placed under a holy curse and shunned into the caves for all eternity. These filthy beings mostly hunt using sound, and they are stealthy creatures who could rip your throat out in mere seconds." Sounds positively lovely,"
Akira grunted sarcastically as she petted her familiar Damien along his reptilian head.
"Do they have any weaknesses?" "Not that I know of, and unfortunately, we won't be able to take the Alkies inside with us. They are useful to us now, but once we're in the caves, there will be small nooks and narrow passageways, which they will be unable to squeeze through."
"Will we be able to use light? I'm assuming it will be as dark as night in there."
"Yes, but I suggest only one of us wield a glowing wand. The less light and noise we use, the better. Has anyone ever gone through the mountain caves before? Have any of your people passed through? They must have, right?
Yes, but never in a large group like us.
Revna replied as she chewed on her lower lip.
We'll need to be extra careful, and as I said, we should only speak when we have to.
We will be cautious and speak only in necessary whispers,
Vanessa said before she wrapped her new furs tighter around her neck.
If we're not, we'll be dead.
Yes, Professor. We answered with solemn nods.
Good,
Vanessa said before she hopped back onto her creature and stared out toward the dragon's peak.
Now I believe we've wasted enough time. Let's get to the caves before sunset. We can make camp just outside the mouth and use a barrier to protect us from anything on the inside.
We clambered onto our newly bonded creatures, with our familiars following in tow, and no one said a word. As we marched forward, I could tell by the looks on everyone's faces that exhaustion was taking a heavy toll, and the bitter cold was not helping matters at all. Even the familiars seemed to be low on spirits, and I wondered when would be the best time to reveal to everyone about what I had in store for Samara. It was gnawing at me, like a crow pecks at a rotting corpse, and I knew I wouldn't be able to say anything once we stepped inside the caves. So, I decided then and there to discuss my new plan once we made camp for the night. I could already see the mouth of the cave just ahead of us, and the sun was close to turning a deep shade of blood red. I would know soon enough. But suddenly my racing thoughts were interrupted by the sound of a vicious and heart-stopping echo. The abrupt and violent noise cracked through the sky like thunder and sent terrible shivers down my spine, and I held my breath as I cautiously looked at the others. No one said a word, and Revna held up her hand to motion for us all to stop in our tracks.
Oh, what was that?
Beatrix asked in a small, petrified voice.
It sounded like it came from the dragon's peak.
Neither Revna nor Vanessa said a word. But when I glanced up at the peak just above us, I saw clouds of snow and ice washing down the mountain like a ravenous river. And it was headed right for us.
Cole! Avalanche! It's coming at you faster than the wind! Haul ass!
Let's fucking move! I ordered, and then we galloped with all our might toward the cave. The snow above us was moving fast as we sprung toward the mouth of the deadly stone passage, and my heart hammered in my chest like a beating drum as the deluge headed down like a white waterfall. The echoes of the mountain breaking apart nearly made my ears bleed, and sweat trickled down my brow as we rushed toward the caves before we could be swallowed whole by the speeding snow and ice. The pounding snow sounded like the stomping of a cluster of giants. And for a moment, I was worried we weren't going to make it.
Keep going! Don't stop! We're almost there! Just keep moving!
Blood pumped in my ears, and my palms were slick with sweat as we raced toward the mouth of the cave. By the time we rushed inside the cave, the snowfall had caught up to us, and it quickly barricaded us all inside. Now, we found ourselves inside the cold, wet cavern, filled with ice wendigos and whatever deadly creatures took refuge inside such a chilling domain. Drips of water reverberated inside the cave, and the only other sound I could hear was everyone panting and gasping for breath.
Well?
Akira whispered once the snow stopped moving, and we all quietly disembarked from our creatures.
Fuck. Looks like we won't be making camp after all.
Vanessa sighed before she quietly hopped off her elk-like creature, and Isabel gently nuzzled her hand.
We're going to have to travel through the caves all night. Only a fool would close their eyes in a place like this.
Do you hear that? It sounds like laughter.
We all stopped breathing at once, and when I turned to look at Revna's face, her face was paler than snow, and her bottom lip trembled.
Wendigos,
she panted with wide, terrified eyes.
They must have heard the avalanche.
And they're headed right this way. I finished before I pulled out my wand, and the rest of the women followed my move. As the sound of the wendigos cackling and howling grew louder, I knew we'd have to fight tooth and nail to get out of this one. Satan only knew how many were about to attack, but I vowed to the darkness that I wouldn't let anyone be harmed. Not on my fucking watch.